turn your Bible to John chapter 6. I titled this sermon, Defection, Deception, and Determination. Defection, Deception, and Determination. In the last 11 years, many people visited our church, but they didn't stay. Maybe one of them, many reasons might be because of my heavy Swedish accent. Yeah?
Yeah?
Our assistant pastor, Jack, when he goes up to the men's conference and up in Prescott, and he tells other people that, it's hard to understand our pastor Juno's accent because he speaks in this Swedish accent and speaking in tongue. So Holy Spirit had to give us the gift of interpretation of a tongue so we can understand him. Smart aleck Jack. Since we are talking about Jack, why don't I say this? What goes around comes around, right? Do you know what you call the Pastor Jack in the middle of the corrugated container? Jack in the box. All right, seriously, even though I don't speak perfect English, if a person wants to hear the Word of God,
Amen.
They can hear.
Amen.
The reason why they don't understand is because they choose not to hear the Word of God. Actually, some people told me that, if I'm lying, I'm dying. They told me that because they have a hard time understanding me, they have to concentrate more and they get to understand the Word of God more. If the Lord can use a donkey to speak to the people, to communicate with, God can certainly use me. That was a little too loud. Back to another reason why people don't stay in our church. Maybe, just maybe, the truth come out from this pulpit might be a little too close for comfort. A typical way for many people to handle the truth is avoid the truth at all cost. They think that somehow if they can avoid the truth long enough, it will go away. Or maybe the truth will change it to their way. It's not going to happen. Though I don't speak perfect English, you have to admit that I do not compromise the truth. I teach from the Word of God. And I do not care about the popularity, or I do not care about whatever the other people might go after. This morning we find the same thing. The people, multitude was thronging after the Jesus Christ, because they were attracted to the person of Jesus Christ, attracted to this spellbinding miracles and rhetoric that Jesus Christ brings to them. But as the point of his sermon becomes sharper, the thin-skinned followers starting to retreat and recoil and going back to the backside. And the majority of them left him high and dry. They were doing everything they can to avoid the truth at all cost. Let's stop here and we'll pray. Holy Father, you brought truth to us. You soften our heart to receive your truth. We would be like anyone who would avoid the truth, but you brought it to us for us to understand your truth. Now we delight in your truth. We thank you and we praise your holy name for that. Again, we open our heart to receive your truth, desiring for more, that we may be more like Jesus Christ, conforming into his image, less like ourselves. Father, we lift up President Obama, We ask for your will be done in his life. We're asking you to soften his heart to us that he may come to know Jesus. And the safety of our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially our own congregations, whether they are federal agents, as sheriff deputies, or firefighters, we're asking you to watch over them, protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 6 of 60, verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Our Lord Jesus' teaching is not hard to understand, but it's hard to accept it once you understand. You with me? Jewish religious leaders misunderstood him, number one, and then they chose to reject him. They were offended by what he taught. The Greek word for the offend is scandalizo, and with which we get the English word scandal. They couldn't accept the fact that Jesus came down from heaven. And they couldn't accept the fact that he's using radical illustration, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Of course, that he already told them that it was nothing more than figure of speech. However, they chose not to understand him because they don't like already what he said. Even though it's the beginning of the book of John, remember, book of John skipped all the stuff. Now he is pretty much within the year period, the end of his ministry. So these Jewish leaders already don't like him. They already plan to kill him. Isn't that true? The real reason, God bless you, real reason that people don't want to accept the truth of God is that they don't like it and they don't want it. Even if the truth stands right in front of their face and stare in their eyes, they say, "I don't see truth." Because they don't want to face the truth. They'd rather believe the fabricated fairy tale that gives them false and temporary comfort and peace than face the truth and do what is right in the sight of God. If they have to face the truth, they have to repent. Otherwise, it does not go well with God. People are all for hearing teaching about heaven, comfort, peace, grace, and the love of God. And they are all important subjects to talk about and to learn about. However, let's not forget that the other side, repentance, sin, hell, and righteousness and holiness of God. And let's not forget the judgment of God. They get offended by it. They recoil. They really hate to hear that kind of thing. So they come up with different kinds of things. They come up with a twisted and feel-good compromise Christianity. Here's a good example of a twisted, feel-good, compromised Christianity by Rob Bell. Some of you guys know him. Some of you don't. Rob Bell is a founding pastor of the Mars Hill Bible Church. I don't know why he called it Bible Church, because he doesn't use the Bible. And his church attendance, Sunday morning attendance, is 8,000 to 10,000 people. Don't be impressed by the attending numbers. I'm going to read it what he said. He said, he asked, "Gandhi is in hell?" And he asked again, "Someone knows it for sure?" Here's an answer. "With the full authority of the Bible, yes, he is in hell with the torment and regret. Because to the last breath of his life, he believed in Hinduism. he probably is the finest man in hell. It is not because he is a horrible criminal. Rather, because he knowingly rejected Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners from the beginning. You get that? See the difference? We are not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners from the beginning. John 3:3. Go there, please. Keep your finger in John chapter 6. John 3:3. You guys know this by heart, but just in case you don't know. In case somebody said, where in the Bible says that you cannot go to heaven unless you are born again? If you have a red letter Bible, this is what it says. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Does it say, unless you are a good person? Does it say that? Does it say that if you go to Calvary Chapel, then you cannot, if you don't go to Calvary Chapel, you cannot go to heaven? Does it say that unless you do the mission work, all these things, then you cannot go to heaven? What does it say? Born again. That means born from above. That means you have to be spiritually born. Otherwise, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Go to Romans 3:23, please. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Not with an exception. And the Rob Bell continues, asks, will only a few selected people make it to heaven, and will billions and billions of people will burn forever in hell? Answer is, those billions and billions of people individually made and will make their own conscious decision not to accept the way of Jesus for their salvation. The result is automatically they choose to send themselves to hell. God does not send them to hell. When I was in Korea, we had this system. We all had to go to military. They gave us choice. They gave us choice. You can go to military for 2.5 years minimum, or you can go to jail. So I was thinking, let me think about it. Military and jail. I'll go for military. It was not much of a choice, but in this case, it's a much better choice. You can have an eternal life in heaven forever with a God with all the love he has for you. Or you can go to hell, if you will, by your own choice. People still choose hell. Bell also asked, the primary, the center of the gospel of Jesus is that God is going to send you to hell unless you believe in Jesus. Did you notice how he said? The center of the gospel of Jesus is that God is going to send you to hell unless you believe in Jesus. It's almost like a forceful thing. So what the subtly caught and taught is that Jesus rescued from God. So what kind of God is that you need to be rescued from this God? How can that God ever be good? And how can that be a good news? You know, I have to give it to Rob Bell. He is very eloquent. He is very slick. And he is smooth, like a snake. And so please don't think that I'm going after this poor Christian brother with malice in my heart. No, I'm merely revealing his cunning, deception, and dangerous poison. If I have a bunch of the stuff on here and then next to you the good food, should I put the label on that container that one has a poison? Should I say, poison, do not touch, do not eat this? It's harmful for you. Or should I just let you taste all of it? As a pastor, I should point out that which one is a poison. What the Rob Bell and his cohort teach is poison. Rob Bell made God sound like a vengeful one in heaven who cannot wait to punish people for no reason. No, not in a million years. This poor human ancestor rejected the gods in the Garden of Eden with their disobedience and pride from the beginning. Thus, we all are born with a sinful nature, and from then we are born as a sinner. But because God so loved the entire human race, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from our own sins and the penalty of our sins. You with me on that? God does not want us to go to hell. And Jesus is not a secondary idea to save us. Because we chose to go to hell, God sent his Son to save us. Rob Bell is lying through his teeth. This kind of anti-Christianity is not unusual. By the way, Rob Bell goes around the world. He goes to university and speaks to the young people about twisted gospel. Have you ever heard the word, the theology called universalism? What is universalism? Just in case you don't know, it means that everybody will go to heaven. That's what Rob Bell teaches. One time he was having an interview with a secular talk show host. This man, the talk show host, literally pinned him down in words, do you not agree with the universalism that you've been preaching? He was dancing around to avoid that, what he's saying. He didn't really want to say that, yes, I believe that everybody will go to heaven. He never come to the point to answer. So the talk show host asked him, do you or do you not? He still did not answer. If you ask me, if you are the talk show host, you ask me, is there any other way to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ? You will hear me saying clearly, Rob Bell would not. Because he said anybody can go to heaven. I agree. Anybody can go to heaven as long as they repent and accept Jesus Christ into their heart. And these people has one purpose only, to deceive the people and drag the carnal Christian, drag the unbelieving Christian to hell as much as they can. And these people are the Rob Bell and the Emergent Church cohorts. It was our memory verse. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, please. Okay, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no greater thing if his master, also, his ministers also transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. That's what the Rob Bell and his cohort is going to face. Listen, Jesus is not in the business of making people feel comfortable or good about themselves. Rather, he is in the business of the saving the wretched people like us. Verse 62 in chapter 6, please. What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascending there where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives lives, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to you No one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jewish leaders complained and the concept of Jesus being the true bread comes from heaven and eating his flesh is incomprehensible. What Jesus said was here is that if he did not understand how they are going to understand that he is going up to heaven. It is Holy Spirit who gives life to the new believers. Last couple weeks, we had the privilege of seeing God's miracle here in this church. People coming to know Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit is the one who gave them their brand new life. He continually calls us to focus on the spiritual reality of the Christian walk, not vain fleshly things. The result of this message by Jesus was the loss of a majority of his congregation. They went back to their old life, their old religion, their hopeless life. And it is no surprise for our Lord Jesus Christ because he knew the heart of man long before. Please note this in your heart. Our God is not impressed with the attendance of the church. He's not so thrilled that there are the tens and thousands of people. God is not impressed with Rob Bell's church. God is not impressed with Joel Osteen's church. But what he loves is your depth. The way you want to obey him, the way you want to love him, the way you want to spend time with him through his word. In America, when the Christian from the two different churches, they've never met before, one of the first conversations is, how big is your church? Second question is, how much does your church gather up for the church income? I call it nose and nickel. How many nose do you have? How many nickels do you have in your pocket? It's not just congregation. It's among the pastors. They want to know how big their church, the other church, people's church is. God is not impressed. Many churches encourage people to follow Jesus for merely fleshly motives, promoting Jesus as a product to fix our life. These seeker-sensitive churches and churches that teach the prosperity gospel, you know what the prosperity gospel is? Jesus is here to bring you health and wealth in your life. So believe in your faith, have a faith in your faith. Name it, that God will give it to you. Like a Kenneth Copeland. Those people will say that. That's a prosperity gospel. It is unsound doctrine. And the churches like Rob Bell, pastors, are the cases in point. Those who come to Christ under this sales and marketing approach will not satisfy with what they experience in their church. Because they do not receive the true bread and true living water. The following week, these people will ask for more, something new, something different. In our church, we just simply go through this book. Whatever it says, I teach. If it talks about the salvation, I talk about salvation. If it talks about the forgiveness, I talk about forgiveness. I don't have a choice. I do what the Bible says. By doing so, you get to have a full counsel of God, not man-made counsel. Man-made counsel, always there's a problem. I learned this from my pastor, Pastor Robert from Calvary Chapel, Tucson. He told me that he study hard. Spend time in your word. The more you spend your time in your word, the less of your congregation will have a problem knowing God. If I don't spend enough time in the word, the people will not have enough things from the Word of God, so they have a problem in their lives. Then you have to counsel them. Then you have to take out the time from your study time. Then less time in your study. So guard your time for study. That's why when you call me during my study time, I'm rather short. Some of you experienced that. No offense to you. I'm rather short. Okay, get to the point. Thank you. Bye. I'm off. I guard my study time hard. I spend 10 to 16 hours per study. So if you think that pastor's job is working a couple hours a week, as he has made in the shade, no, it's not. In other words, I spend average 20 to 32 hours per week in just for the study. Yes, I do a lot of research. And I do other things that go with the study. When you get that kind of study and I bring the good counsel from God, you get filled with the good nourishment. That's the whole point. My job is equipping you so that you can do the work of God. My job is not making you feel good. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm not interested in making you feel comfortable. God cares about your character more than God cares about your comfort. Put that in your heart. If you get the word straight from the Bible, as is, then you will have a nourishment. You have a living bread and you have a living water. If you follow what the Bible says, your marriage will flourish. If you follow, that's the key point. You cannot just say, okay, I'm getting it, but we're still arguing, we're still bickering. Let me ask you this, husband. Do you love your wife as Christ loved your church? In case you don't know what that means, Christ died for you. That means a husband, are you willing to die for your wives? Most will. Let me rephrase it in a different way, more practical way. While you're watching the last quarter, the last 5 minutes, the last 2 minutes of an NFL game or the college basketball game, it's not being recorded. It's the last few seconds. They are neck and neck. And your wife asks you, honey, can you come help me? Would you shut it off and go help your wife? I'll be right there. Ladies, just in case you haven't noticed, the NFL 5 minutes is the same thing as your idea of having a makeup 5 minutes, right? It goes on for another 3 hours. Wives, do you respect your husband? It does not say, wives, do you love your husband? Wives, women know how to love their husband automatically. It's just built in their system. They know how to love. Guys don't know how to love, so we have to be taught how to love. But the women are told to respect. Women knows how to poke that big balloon of a husband's ego with a sharp needle. And your husband looked like a deflated balloon on the ground. And then your wife asks, what happened to you? So if your husband love your wives as Christ loved the church, if your wives love your respect your husband as Bible says, shouldn't your marriage be good? And if you truly love the other person, your enemy or your neighbor, nagging neighbor, including nagging neighbor's dog, the one I have, Another thing that we don't practice, do not pay back evil for evil. Since somebody did this, I'm going to do the same thing. How good are you? What kind of Christian are you? What are we different than non-Christian? What are we different than the other person? See, when we start doing that kind of thing, when we practice what we learn from the Word of God, guess what? All of a sudden, we are transforming into the image of Jesus Christ. Am I making sense to you? That's my job, equipping you guys with the Word of God. Not making you feel good. Sometimes, probably I prick you with the Word of God. Sometimes I make you feel bad with the Word of God. Do I intentionally do that? No. But the Word does. Because you are lacking in that. I said this again, our God is not impressed with a large number of congregation. Rather, He desires the depth of our heart to follow, learn, obey, and most of all, love Him. Now go down to verse 67, please. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the word of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are God the Christ." And you are the Christ, I'm sorry. "For the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is the devil." He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For it was he who would betray him and being one of the 12. The thinning crowd did not thin the determination of the Christ's closest disciples. Rather, his conviction being firmer than before. Of course, the minus one, Judas, the betrayer. Do you think about Judas? In modern term, he was on step with Jesus. He went bad, right? So I guess you can call him step infection. But everybody thought that he was right on. Everybody thought he was right on. And everybody else asked him, "Am I the one?" When Jesus said, "One of you is the betrayer." They never thought, you know, in the Leonardo da Vinci's this Last Supper painting, there's one guy way in the corner in a dark costume and salt bottle in front of him is tilted over. And everybody has a good look and this Judas has that sneaky look like this. So everybody knew that. In the movie, all the bad guys have this dark clothes and they have a cynical look. So we know who's the bad guys from the beginning. But in Judas' case, everybody else thought, "Oh, you, except Judas. He's the good one." Lord still searched for the motives of all who follow Him. Ask yourself what your true motive is to follow. Is it spiritual excitement, or is it spiritual privilege? No one can speak for you. You know your heart. And God also knows your heart and actually better than you. So I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, which category do you fall into? Is your life like a grumbling multitude that ends up in one of an open defection? Or is your life like a Judas, one of subtle deception? Or is it like a Peter and other disciple, one of the firm determination? One more thought. In one of his many teachings, Pastor Chuck Smith, the founding pastor of the Calvary Chapel, and he told us in the Senior Pastors Conference in Murrieta, California, he said, "Don't be concerned about the people who do not stay in your church. God can move them in different places for various reasons. If a group of them are leaving your church with a contention in their heart, consider it blessed subtraction. Don't think twice about it." So, back to the question again. Is it defection, deception, or determination? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Truth is not easy to accept once we understand, but truth is good because it comes from you. We are asking you to guide us with your truth that comes from your word each and every moment. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.